Before I get started, let me remind you of the Toys for Tots that starts next Sunday. We have been doing that for several years now, and we have always been right at the top of bringing stuff in, and the Marines, they're always really, really thrilled with it when they see what we've brought in. And of course, Pastor Rob, where's he at? He's here somewhere. There he is right there. And then Pastor Greg, where's Pastor Greg's who I was looking for, not Rob, where's Pastor Greg? Anyway, he's over here. Huh? Oh, that's right. He's out with the offering, right? Well, he's a retired Marine. How many Marines I got in the congregation? Where's you at? Amen. That's one thing I love about this church. It's full of veterans like myself from all branches of the service. But I think this is one of the best ways to be able to help families that are in need. They do a really good job of vetting everybody and making sure that they really are in need. You know, sometimes people say they're in need and they're really not in need. I don't mean that wrongly, but it's the truth, okay? And so let's get involved with that, okay? And also, if you don't vote, don't gripe. Hello? So, you know, like Craig said, pray and vote. That's what we need to do. And I want to encourage everybody to vote, because in the last election, they said there was, I forget how many million Christians that did not vote. Well, if we as Christians want to have a say in what's going on in the world, then we need, and our vote is our voice. So vote, okay? Praise the Lord. You know what? Isaiah 59:1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Here the prophet is declaring that the hand of the Lord is not too short to help his people. Now, Isaiah is declaring this on God's part for Israel to save them. And the problem was that Israel had forgotten Miriam's song that they sang after they crossed the Red Sea in Exodus 15:6. "Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy to pieces." They were singing the song in praise and thanking God for what he had done. And it seemed that Israel now had forgotten the mighty hand of God that had performed miracles for them and brought them up out of Egypt. If you read in the Old Testament the story of the children of Israel from the time they left Egypt to the time they got in the Promised Land and all the time in the Promised Land, that his mighty hand was there to perform miracle after miracle from them. They defeated armies that were 4 or 5 times larger than they were. They were given food and water when they needed it. The mighty hand of God is repeatedly delivered to them, and that mighty hand of God is still available today for us. So I want to focus on the phrase for our text, "The hand of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save." Today, many people are looking for help here, there, and everywhere else when the main help comes from the Word of God. If you want to get His hand moving for you, then you have to go and know what the Word of God says. You know, there was some singing group that had a song one time, "I want to hold your hand." Well, God wants to hold your hand. But let me tell you what, He's reaching down to hold your hand, but you got to reach up and grab a hold of His hand. How do you do that? by reading the word, getting the word in your heart, and then begin to speak it out your out of your mouth. Many times people wonder where their help will come from. I want to tell you where it comes from. Your help comes from God. Too many people are dealing with all kinds of issues, hardships, and difficulties today, and they're wondering why. Well, what they need to realize is that God's people are not exempt from having difficulties. The devil is the god of this world, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says that the devil is the god of this world. He hates anything to do with God himself, the Heavenly Father, and he's doing everything he can to destroy anybody that names the name of God. But Jesus told us in John 16:33, "These things I've spoken to you, that you may have peace in the world. You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Now let's read that in the NLT. "I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." I want to continue to remind you today that God's hand is not too short to help you in any situation, in everything that you're involved in. His hand is not too short to reach down and help you in any situation that you have. But the thing you have to do, you have to pray and ask him, quote the word of God in whatever it is that you're needing. You know, it says in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, I am with you." This is not a time to get fearful. This is the time to believe in what the Word of God says, and that is that God is ready to help us. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." This is not a time to get in fear. This is a time to use your faith and believe what the Bible says. This is the time that it does not matter. Some people say, "Well, I don't have a lot of faith." It doesn't matter. He says in the Word, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. If you don't know how small a mustard seed is, go find one and find out. They're a very small seed. He said, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, that would activate the hand of God to move for you. He instituted this long ago. He said it in the Word of God in Mark 11:22-23. "So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God." Or have the God kind of faith is probably the literal translation. And then in 23, he tells you what that God kind of faith is. "For surely I say, whoever says this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says." Now let's go back to the beginning in Genesis. And it says, "And God said, and there was. And God said, and there was. And God said, and there was." Talking about the creation. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you ever read Genesis chapter 1? If you haven't, go read it. Then we get this when Jesus is talking to his disciples when the fig tree has dried up from the roots. And then Paul in Romans says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you shall be saved. To me, the Word of God says, and let there be two or three witnesses. That's three different witnesses that I have brought about believing and receiving. Today, you have to believe what the Word of God says, and you have to speak what the Word of God says. Not just one time, you continually speak the Word. Anytime that fear comes to me, I say, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. That's what Paul said, talking to Timothy. You know, when fear comes, and fear will come at you, I don't care who you are, I don't care what your name is, I don't care how smart you are, how dumb you are, how much money you have, how much money you don't have. I don't care where you live. Fear will come to you because the enemy is trying to get you out of believing God. You can accept it if you want to, but I'm not going to accept it. I immediately, anytime fear tries to grip me, I say, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. Hello. You know, really, they teach you when you go into in the basic training in the Army, or that's they taught me. I don't know what they teach now. That was 1962. That was about 5 years ago, I guess. They kid me all the time because I'll say, well, you know, I remember when so-and-so happened a couple years ago, and then I'll turn around and say, well, 1975. And Anthony's always kidding me. He said that I think 2 years ago was 1975. But sometimes everything runs together. All right? Let me say this. God will come to your rescue if you don't get in fear. What I started to tell you was that's one of the things they drilled in our heads. Never get in fear. I don't care what's happening. I don't care what the situation is. If you get in fear, you can't think straight and you'll make wrong decisions. And that's exactly what the Bible says. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. When you're in fear, you don't have a sound mind. Hello. Never get in fear. Sometimes people are always saying, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, I'll tell you what, I tell you what's going to happen. Whatever the Word of God said, that's what's going to happen. And whatever you do in line with the Word of God will bring you victory and deliverance. It's up to you. It's not up to God. He's already done all he's ever going to do about you having good success in life. His hand has not shortened. It's the same hand that reached down to Israel. It's the same hand that's reaching down to his children today. That is us that have been born again by the power of God through believing in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's hill. You know, we look at something here in Matthew 14. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. If you read the New Testament, I don't know how many times it says, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Anybody ever notice that reading the New Testament? Be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. Now, Peter was the only one brave enough to step out of the boat. Now, the rest of them were still Jesus' disciples, but they stayed in the boat. Sometimes you need to get out of the boat and believe God and get out of your comfort zone and begin to operate in faith with what God has said to you in the Word of God. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You hear me say it time and time and time again, but I want the devil to know that I believe the Word and it's settled and there's nothing that's going to change my mind. Hello? You know, think about that. Here is Peter, James, and John in that boat. They were fishermen on that sea. They had been doing that for their livelihood. And there they are. They'd never seen anybody walk on the water. I ain't either. Oh, man, excuse me, I haven't either. I should better use correct English. But you know, Peter said, hey, Jesus, I want to be where you're at. So he got out of the boat. There's a sermon right there. You want to be where Jesus is? Get out of the boat. I'll go on down the road. He stepped out on the words of Jesus and said, come. It's impossible to walk on water unless you know where the rocks are. You know, that one time, that was a story. That's where I got that from. These two guys, they were going there, and the water was there, stream of water, and, you know, you couldn't see it, but this one man, he said, well, I'm going to the other side, and he just started stepping and walking, you know, and the other guy said, man, I've never seen anybody walk on water before. He said, I don't think I can do it. And the guy got on the other side, and the man said, I'm not coming over there because I can't walk on water. And the other guy said to him, you can if you know where the rocks are. But we don't have to know where the rocks are. All we have to know is that we have something called faith. Faith. Believing beyond all shadow of a doubt. When it looks impossible, the Word of God says it's possible with God. You see, Peter was doing okay until he began to look at all of the circumstances and the situation that was going on, the wind, the waves, and that's when he began to sink, because he quit thinking about Jesus and the word that Jesus had said, come, and began to look at what he was doing. He got his eyes off of the problem solver and back onto the problem. So many times in our situations that we're going through, things that we are dealing with, we begin to pray and ask God to help us, but then we begin then to look more at the situation than we do toward God, which has the answer. Why? Because we don't see it happening as quick as we think it should. But remember, if you keep believing, it will happen. With that fig tree that died up there in Mark 11, Jesus said that to it one time. And he didn't even bother to think about it. But the disciples they saw it, and they said, look. And he said, hey, that's nothing unusual. Have faith in God. Really, that's probably what we would have said. Hey, that's nothing unusual. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, everybody says that. But when you're saying that, do you really believe it? Are you just saying it because that's what religious people say? Forget about religion and remember and what the Bible says. I don't care what title you have on over the top of the church or over the top of you. What does the Bible say? I'm not interested in church politics, church religion, or anything else, or theology. And I've studied it. I got a degree, so I'm not dumb. But you know what? I've never found anything in theology that saved me, but I have found reading the Word of God, and it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you should be saved. Hello. Now, I've studied Christology and Hornetology and Pneumatology and all the ologies. But you know what? Not any of them saved me. It's reading what the Bible says. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be saved. It's just that simple. Jesus responded to Peter's cry. He cried out. And he reached down with his hand and lifted him up. Now, I wonder if Peter was thinking about that. That Jesus reached down and lifted him up. There in Acts at the gate called Beautiful, where he said to the man, I don't have any gold or silver, but such as I have give I you. And he reached down and grabbed the man's hand and said, be healed. And the man began to leap and walk. He was a cripple. You know, I wonder if Peter thought about that when he reached down the hand like that. Oh, Brother Oral Roberts used to sing the song, when he reached down his hand for me. Anybody remember that song? See, some of you are old enough to remember it. That was back in the 50s. my dad was a part of all of that 1950s revival, 47 to 58 revival, when we had Oral Roberts, T.L. Osborne, Kenneth E. Hagin. Oh, I can name them all. O.L. Jaggers, A.A. Allen, W.V. Grant Sr. I mean, I knew them all as a kid. I grew up with from the time I was nine till I was from fourth grade to the 12th grade. I knew all of these guys. Man, he would walk through. I've been in his tent. We'd go visit him, and he'd walk through that door singing when he reached down his hand for me. Hey, and people began to believe that Jesus was reaching down to lift them up. Today, I want you to begin to believe that the hand of God is still the same hand of God as it was in the Old Testament, as it was in the New Testament, and it's still the same hand of God today that is reaching down to touch you and lift you up out of any situation, circumstance, or anything else. Healing if you need healing. If you need protection, he's there to protect. The hand of God is there for protection. Whatever it is that you need, whatever issue you're facing, the hand of God is there to hold you up. Just like we read there from Isaiah. A while ago, we read that from Isaiah. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. That means that he's not going to let you fall. He's not going to let you down. He's going to lift you up to the heights of glory. He's going to lift you up to victory. He's going to lift you up out of all of the circumstances that are around about you that's trying to take you down. All you've got to do is believe it and receive it and begin to praise God for it. You know, once I ask God for something, I don't ask again. I just praise him that it's done. Somebody said, well, I don't see nothing happening. I don't care whether you see it or not. The songs we sing, he's always working. He's always working. Sometimes it's behind the scenes. We don't see it, but he's working. Anytime you ask him, he's there. He's working for you. All you've got to do is believe it and receive it. You know, Some people said, notice that when Peter cried out in his situation, he was sinking. Jesus didn't rebuke him. He didn't get on to him. I have seen fellow Christians when somebody is going through a trial and they sort of lose their faith for a little bit. The other Christians say, well, I don't tell you what, if that's me, I wouldn't do that. And they begin to talk down on them. No, you should go over and lift them up because that's what a Christian brother does. In fact, the Word of God said, if you see your brother in trouble, go over and help him out. Come on now. That's good preaching right there. No, he didn't ignore him. He didn't get on to him for losing his faith. He reached out his hand to help him, and because his hand wasn't too short, he did say, Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? That's the question he asked him. I don't know what Peter said because that's all it said. It doesn't say anything else. But I'm sure that it struck a chord with Peter. And he said, wait a minute, I can't doubt anymore. Let me tell you what. Stop doubting. Stop wondering. Somebody said, I'm not doubting, I'm just wondering. Hey, if you're wondering if it's going to happen, you're in doubt. I know my dad's oldest brother, there was four of them. There's Aunt Olita, Uncle Dub, Dad, and Uncle Pat. They're all in heaven today. But Uncle Dub was a rounder. If you've ever read any of the stories or heard my dad preach, he's mentioned Dub Hagen. Dub Hagen was I never knew my dad's dad, and Dad hardly knew him because he left when they were young. And Uncle Dub was on his own from the time he was about 11 years old. And he was a guy that stood about 6'5" tall and was meaner than a junkyard dog. But I was talking to him one night. I was about 15. He had come by and see us and visit his brother. And He said, you know the reason I'm so mean? He said, I had so much taken away from me, and back then I'd get some food and they'd take it away from me. And he said, I learned that if you're mean and tough, don't let anybody take anything away from you, that you'll make it. And you know what? I got to thinking about that. And that's what we've got to do with the devil. He tries to steal all of our joy. He tries to steal all of our blessings. And we've got to get tough and say, Mr. Devil, you can't have it. That's mine. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Get out of here. Stop wondering about it. Just keep believing. Keep believing. You know, there's a old song that says, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Let me tell you what, stay with God. There is going to be trials, there's going to be troubles, things are going to come. He said they would, but the hand of the Lord is not too short to save you. 1 Peter 5:6 says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due season. It's time for us to stand up and begin to acknowledge that we can't handle it by ourselves. You know, we can't do this job all by ourselves. But let me tell you what, with God backing us, we can accomplish. We can come through. We can make it. I got a soldier kneeling in prayer, and it's on a poster, and it sits in my office where when I'm looking, my desk is here, and it's sitting right over here on the bookcase, and I can see it from my chair as I'm walking there. It says, the task ahead of you is not greater than the power that's behind you. the task that's ahead of you is not greater than the power behind you. Many times I don't try to memorize things, because if you do, then they just become rote to you. That's why I don't try to memorize too much scripture. I want to go read it so it stays fresh. If you memorize it, you just quote it over and over again, and sometimes it doesn't have the impact. It doesn't have the punch that you needed to have. How many understand what I'm saying to you? It just becomes something you're saying. No. It's time for us to realize that the hand of God is there, and He can do more in one moment than you can do in a lifetime. Psalms 118:16 says, "The strong right arm of the Lord is raised in triumph. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. The hand of God has touched many. The hand of God will touch you. The hand of God will bring you deliverance. The hand of God will keep you safe. The hand of God can reach you in any circumstance, any situation that you're in that man says can't be fixed, but the hand of the Lord can fix it. He can reach past all of the messes that has been made and you've made in your life, and won't reach past them and pull you out of all of them, and then remember it no more against you, and set you on the road to living right with God. When it seems like no help is available, remember the hand of the Lord is there with you. The hand of the Lord will bring you blessings. The hand of the Lord will bring you all the benefits that the Word of God says belongs to us. The hand of God will make sure every promise that God said in this Word will come true in your life. The hand of God will make provision for you when there doesn't look like there is a way. God is there to help you anytime, anywhere, any place, if you're willing to reach up with the hand of faith and grab a hold of what his hand. He will sustain you. He will keep you. He will fix whatever it is that is in your way that is causing you heartache or a problem. The hand of the Lord is not too short, nor is it too weak. The hand of the Lord is mighty. It's supernatural. It can do the impossible. Don't give up, for the hand of God wants to do mighty things for you. But it's up to you whether you receive them or not. It's not up to God. They're all available, but you are the one that must believe and receive them by speaking them out of your mouth, and then you'll see that all things will change, and you can run and shout and have the victory. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Everybody stand, please. That's long enough. Anybody get anything out of that today? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I tried for just a moment to encourage these people that your hand is still there. It's the same hand that delivered Israel. It's the same hand that will deliver us. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. With the heads bowed and eyes closed, if you happen to be in this place today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never actually accepted Him. Or maybe you have accepted Him, but you have sort of turned your back and you got off course and you just need to come back and rededicate your life. Anybody on any one of those invitations, let me see your hand right now, anywhere in this room, upstairs, downstairs, wherever you're at, and I'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Anybody anywhere? I'm looking. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I don't see any hands being lifted. Father, I pray if there's one person under the sound of my voice that needs to accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior, I pray, Father, that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will go with them until they're not able to do anything, till they stop and confess you as Lord and Savior. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.